This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, you can get free TV service for 6 months. Hashtag, what's the catch? Twitter's finally rolling out anti-abuse mechanisms. Public Sector Digest lists who's tops of the open data heap. And SpaceX is rocking it. That's all next and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oliodigitallabs.com.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 104 for Monday, February the 20th, 2017, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Derek, it's in Ontario here. It's Family Day across the country. There's different days for it, but nevertheless, it's a day off for most of us, and we've had some absolutely awesome weather here in southwestern Ontario.
Yeah, we really have. It's been quite nice the past few days. Sorry to anyone who hasn't been benefiting from the warm weather. Climate change is treating southwestern Ontario pretty well right now. So, yeah, we've got Louis Riel Day in Manitoba, Islander Day in Prince Edward Island, and Nova Scotia Heritage Day, obviously in Nova Scotia. So, and then Family Day in a few other jurisdictions. I think Alberta is today as well, and BC was Family Day last week.
Right. Yeah, they have to be a little bit different, don't they?
Of course.
Okay, so we're going to get right on to the news here. Lots of things happening this week, as always. First of all, a good friend of the show, VMedia, we had their CEO on not long ago. They're offering their skinny IPTV package for free for six who remember before IPTV is an internet-based TV service through VMedia that they got into a little bit of courtroom shenanigans with Bell Media because they were offering the CTV channels, and Bell didn't like that. But hopefully some things have been resolved. And Derek, why don't you tell us more about it?
Yeah, so basically this started on or around Valentine's Day, and because VMedia loves TV, according to the company. And yeah, basically they're offering, I think it's $17.95 off any of their TV services for the next 6 months. So the skinny package is actually free. Unfortunately, or for better or for worse, you will need to have a VMedia internet connection as well. So even for the service that was previously available across any ISP, they moved it back to VMedia internet connections only in order to add the CTV channels back. But $17.95 is still a really hefty discount, especially for 6 months. So you could have free TV for 6 months. That's worth about $110. Or the basic package with some specialty channels, that's only $12 a month for 6 months. The 70 channel premium basic, that's kind of an oxymoron. Premium basic offering, which apparently is the most popular, is only $27 a month for the next 6 months. That's normally almost $45. So if you are already a VMedia internet subscriber, this is a great deal. If you were thinking about switching, this is a great deal. If you're dead set on staying with your ISP, boo-hoo for you. And that includes myself. But yeah, it's you know, these are hefty discounts, and obviously you target it at attracting new clientele.
Right, and some excellent, you know, yeah, definitely want to get some people to try it. So I think good for them. They want to stay in the news. That court case brought them in the news even more, so people are aware of them now. So yeah, a good option for them. So we wish them all the best. Okay, moving on to Twitter. Twitter, or they've had all sorts of problems with the problem with trolls and people like that, just ruining it for the rest of us. Apparently now, as part of a continuing rollout, in my opinion, still going, that's my opinion, users in Twitter will no longer see replies from blocked or muted users in a conversation. That's always been a problem. Sometimes you someone else gets into a conversation, and then you start seeing it in the timeline. Yeah. So this is gonna help a little bit. It still needs to go a little ways. Called Tweetin, which is based off uses the TweetTech API, but they have a true mute thing that if I mute someone, it mutes them. And like I, if they're in a conversation, you know, Twitter really, really needs that. I know. I was going to say not TweetDeck, but Tweetbot has something. That like if I don't want to, let's say, follow Donald Trump, I should be able to put the word Trump in my Twitter client, and I just don't see stuff with it. Sure. And we're still worst issue. What do you think?
I think this is a good step. It's not. I thought this had. Oh, I know they're doing other things. They're using some machine learning as well to look at low quality replies, and those are being automatically filtered out unless you click the button that actually says "Show more replies" in at least the official Twitter client, which is great because for a lot of people who are being harassed, that should cut down on the number of harassing messages they see. And the other big one that they're moving forward on is again using some machine learning to try and prevent people who have been suspended or have been banned from the service from signing up again right away under using another pseudonym, which has been a really huge problem for a lot of people. That's big, because if that works even half the time, that will cut down on a lot of potential abuse. And or even if it only stops people from trying to sign up again the first two or three times, but they get through the fourth time, well, a lot of people are just going to quit after that second or third time. So if it all goes well, that's great. That's amazing. You and I are speaking from a completely different position here because I'm certainly not the butt, receiving this type of harassment. I'm quite confident you aren't either, which is good. But certainly some of the folks we know do get harassing messages because of their points of view or because of their gender or a mix of the two and some other reasons.
Yep.
So anything Twitter can do how did I put it the other day? To make sure that the most valued users keep coming back, keep using their service, the ones that actually will help drive Twitter's ad revenue, essentially, and that sort of thing, that's good for everybody. So I'm really, really hoping it works. I'm hoping it works well.
So again, I still think it needs to happen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I was going to say that. I still think it's going at a slower pace, and I still think there's a way. It seems like if a celebrity gets threatening stalking and stuff like that, they seem to be able to act kind of quick there. They need to address that for the rest of the users. Go ahead with what you were saying.
I was just going to say that everybody benefits in the end, and it'll help Twitter drive better engagement, and that's good for their stock price if their daily active users or monthly active user numbers are up and that sort of thing.
Right. So, okay. Airbnb, they've acquired a Montreal-based company called Luxury Expedia, and is it Accor? I can never pronounce it.
Accor, yeah, I really don't know. That's a good question.
Okay, we'll go with that. So, yeah, this is their biggest acquisition. Yeah, they're basically, they want to become a full-service global travel company. So this is Luxury Retreats is a Canadian-based manager of high-end rentals and services. So like, you know, Star and the ultra high-end, you know, big houses and stuff like that. Not exactly the stuff you're looking for if you just want to stay somewhere for like, you know, $39 a day.
Right.
This is showing where, you know, there's a whole new model out here. Who would have thought, you know, a couple of years ago, something like Airbnb would be around? But again, luxury retreats, they have more than 4,000 properties around the world. Built in concierge service, where Airbnb will be able to offer to its customers. And apparently, the high-end vacation home rental market is actually a very key area, because like, you know, flight on one of these high-end airlines, yeah, they're making a lot of money off you. Yeah. So yeah, this is you know, good for them. Do you have some comments on this?
Until like 2 weeks ago when the rumor started, I had no idea luxury retreats was a thing. So I guess that really speaks more to my income level than anything else.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah. So kudos to luxury retreats, and it's going to stay based in Montreal, which is nice. And the article here from Bloomberg goes into some really interesting rumors, sources, etc., that talk about how Accor wanted to buy the company. They're looking to buy something, a similar company called Travel Keys, and Expedia allegedly offered more money to the owners of luxury retreats, but allegedly because what's his name, Philippe Poulin, I believe. Where is it? I saw it, and now I'm just Joe Poulin. My bad. Joe Poutine.
Partly because its founder, Joe Poulin, Poulin.
I'm guessing
Poulin, having more control than.
Yeah, so it sounded like he was going to be. He was happy that he was going to have more control. He's going to head up a whole division now at Airbnb. So certainly that makes sense for him personally. And, you know, if there's upside, then that will all shake itself out in through, you know, stock options and that sort of thing. So from a business perspective, I found that really interesting that Expedia offered more money, but it's Expedia. So really, you know, and they already own a semi-competing service called HomeAway.
So there you go. Okay, speaking of high-end things, we have a live ad from ours.
Olio Digital Labs is one of Canada's most accomplished small market agencies, delivering web apps and mobile apps to businesses across Canada. In this era of persistent connectivity and pervasive mobile devices, it's becoming more important than ever before for businesses to be everywhere their employees and customers are. Olio provides its customers with the peace of mind only a highly skilled and experienced team can provide, a team that is big enough to support your needs, but flexible enough to work to your constraints. With a client list spanning from the Middlesex London Health Unit and Ellison Travel and Tours, all the way up to College Pro and TSN, the team at Olio has proven itself to be the planners, designers, and builders of the web and mobile apps used by some of Canada's largest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you by calling 226-785-0420, emailing derek@oliodigitallabs.com, or visit oliodigitallabs.com to learn more. That's Olio Digital Labs, code that powers every day.
And the Canadian Tech Podcast would like to thank Olio Digital Labs for their ongoing support of the podcast. Moving on, Public Sector Digest recently, and they're actually based here in London, they released their 10 Data City reports, and London was on the list. We're still in the top 20. We've slipped a bit. We're down to 13 now, but I think that's more because other cities are finally getting on the open data involved with an open data project several years ago called London Trash, which took some of the crazy London garbage collection calendar and made an app out of it. And the city was actually one of the first to introduce open data and open data sets and stuff like that. So, you know, it's something I wish I had more time to support, because I'm a great believer in it, particularly because you can get the community out there and doing some cool things with open data. I'm trying to remember, Derek, were you involved in London Trash too?
Nope.
No,
I think I beta tested it a little bit, but that was about it. I didn't code anything. I didn't provide the data or parse it or anything like that. I did some beta testing because I was living in London at the time. But no, I wasn't really involved. That certainly a supporter and you know, happy to see it happen, but no coding from this guy.
Okay. Well, like I said, nope. So yeah, it's an interesting report. You know, it's open data is a good thing to support. So it's definitely something you and check out. The city is apparently their city of London is it's still updating things, and they do have a staff member that I'm sure there's a specific thing you want to see. I'm sure they would try and do it. So
Yeah,
here we
well,
go.
I mean,
Okay.
sorry,
Yep.
just a sec. So, what I think the big difference we're seeing here is Kristen Pawelek, who does take care of the data sets and she's added a bunch of new data sets. They're updating it more regularly, but she said herself that she only spends about 5 hours per week, less than that, maintaining the open data initiatives for the City of London. Whereas all the cities who are in the top 10 now, or all the municipalities who are in the top 10 of the Open Cities Index, all spend on average 40 hours a week. So there's clearly a big gap there, which certainly helps explain why the City of London has slipped, or why other municipalities have gotten ahead, like Edmonton, Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, Surrey, BC, Ottawa. And then the list skips here a little bit. Oakville is ahead now. Niagara Region, Mississauga, Brampton, and Kitchener are all behind London, which is a little surprising for Kitchener. But I also don't see Waterloo on the list, which is also a little surprising. That it's a shame that London has fallen behind, for us locally, but it is good to see other municipalities stepping up and making more data available. And I think it's important to note there's actually a Go Open Data conference being hosted in London May 5th and 6th this year, so I might have to
Yes,
get to that.
that's right. Yeah, I'm hoping to try and get to it myself, so it'll be interesting. Okay, moving on. Now we can't have a tech podcast without complaining about one of our wireless services, right?
No, it's in our bylaws.
I think so. I think so. So, device unlocking takes center stage at the CRTC wireless code review. You know, I remember a few years back, the big three would go to the CRTC and they could send their second tier lawyers, and, you know, they were more or less everyone would have drinks afterwards, you know, historically speaking. But now, no, they come in, the CRTC's kind of like cracked the.
Oh, you're cutting out. All right, I'm going to take over. Yeah, the CRTC does seem
I'm
to be
gonna, yeah, you
cracking the
take over.
whip lately. Jean-Pierre Blais, I think, only took over a couple years ago, and that guy's just, I don't know, knocking heads left, right, and center. So carriers are arguing, of course, that when they've sold a device, they need to enforce a little bit of control over it. Okay, sure. Everybody needs a slightly different build of the operating system, or different pieces of code from the operating system because of they're operating on different frequencies, or they have different modems and that sort of thing. Fine. But what you'll hear the Consumer Association of Canada say, the Council of Senior Citizens Organizations of British Columbia, that's a mouthful, and a few other organizations say, is like, yeah, but once I've paid off my phone, it's mine. It's my phone. I shouldn't have to pay $50, if not more, to have the device unlocked and take it somewhere else. Wind was also saying the same thing at these hearings. Or sorry, Freedom Mobile is also saying the same things at these hearings. And of course, they have a vested interest in unlocking a phone and moving carriers to be really, really easy. Whereas the incumbents typically don't, but we're all here because the CRTC is reviewing the Canada's wireless code, which a few years ago, you may remember, did away with 3-year contracts. So that was a big change. And now we're looking at things like unlocking fees, bill shock, so going over your data allotment, roaming no doubt contributes to that sort of thing. There was one group who argued that despite an obligation to make consumers aware of their contractual obligations, only one out of the 12 providers briefly showed customers a copy of their contract. Most of the time, subscribers aren't given a chance to actually look at their contract closely, the group argued. I will say, having just recently switched over to Bell, that's true. I think his name was Hamad. He was a super nice guy. Very, very helpful. But, oh yeah, here's this. Flip it over. Yeah, you know, here's all this other stuff. You know, this isn't important. No, dude, this is a legal contract. This is important. it's incredibly important. Don't tell me, I knew what I was getting myself into. I'm savvy enough to know what Bell's got in there. But the average person doesn't, and nor should they be expected to know before they go buy a phone or switch carriers. So that is a huge issue. So they are looking at instituting overage caps, which would actually be kind of nice. Then you would avoid the $2,400 bills we've been seeing recently, or $10,000 bills we've been seeing from most of the big three. I think Telus was the most recent example. And there's a whole bunch of stuff here. There's also some disability services. Maybe we should have Jeff Preston on to talk about this, because no doubt he would be interested in any sort of changes to disability services. The Deaf Wireless Canada Consultative Committee, that's a new one, they shared data showing that 20% of deaf and hard of hearing people have unlocked smartphones, and that 77% have a contract with one of the big three. And of that group, 53% went over their data plans. 54% have data buckets between 2 and 6 gigs, and they're still going over their data plans, or at least more than half of them are.
Yep.
And so they're advocating that data buckets begin at 4 gigabytes to accommodate deaf and hard of hearing folks, because they need to use video more often than others in order to communicate.
Yep. Yeah, because usually they'll sign. Yep.
Yeah, when you think about it, that makes a lot of sense. And it's certainly not their fault that they're deaf. So being penalized for being deaf is kind of harsh.
Right.
Do you have anything to add here? I mean, I think these are all nice changes to make. Nope.
I think you pretty well covered it. Exactly. There's something that needs to be done. Dates now. There's a couple of companies now doing unlimited data plans again, things like that. So, yeah, I think this is something that needs to be done. I applaud the CRTC for doing it.
Cool.
All right, let's move on. SpaceX, we're all the space geeks. We have some space news, which is always awesome. Launched their latest supply rocket up to the International Space Station on Sunday. What was kind of cool about this is they used NASA's Launch Complex Pad 39A. That's where the Apollo mission, the space shuttle, the shuttle's last mission was from this one. So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So that's their first liftoff from Florida since they had a minor problem with a rocket blowing up last summer. I guess that's a minor.
Yeah, minor.
The other neat thing was they landed their leftover booster back at Cape Canaveral Air Force Base, which is just north of Cape Canaveral, and it landed upright as well. So,
yeah, this is really neat. So
Elon Musk's tweet, he said, "Yeah, go ahead."
No, you go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say he tweeted, "Baby came back."
That's always a good thing, especially when you're literally launching on NASA's turf. So. Yeah, another huge accomplishment. Well, yep. Maybe not huge, but another accomplishment, another notch on the belt for SpaceX. Kind of pretty neat that using the same launch pad as the space shuttle, as Apollo 11, which is really neat. And it sounds like, or at least the plan, is to Now, within a year, bring U.S. crew or yeah, U.S. crew launches back to the U.S. soil instead of sending people over to Kazakhstan and launching them on rickety old Soyuz capsules. So that would be another feather in SpaceX's cap if they can be the first ones to do that for NASA. And oh shoot, I just saw here that Tim Hortons is looking to buy Popeyes. Good luck to them. Sorry, Tim Hortons' parent company, which like owns Burger King and a
Okay.
few
All
other
right. All
companies.
right. Yeah, they own a few things.
But yeah, no, this is really cool. I was gonna watch it, and then my youngest has been sick, and my oldest went to church, so I didn't watch this. But I will absolutely watch the replay. We make a point of doing that.
Cool. Okay, let's move on to stuff we like. I'm going to start this week. I picked up a new book that everyone's been talking about re recently called Designing Your Life. And it's actually from two folks who are at the design program at Stanford University, including one who was a Dave Evans, who was a co-founder of Electronic Arts. Yes, that Electronic Arts.
Cool.
And it's a really interesting premise. The idea is, we always talk about what do you want to be when you grow up, and quite often it's a difficult thing. The way our education system is, you're pressured to go into a major, do something like that, and maybe that's not what you want. In fact, there are some interesting stats they were quoting in the book. Fewer than 20% of kids in the U.S. are going to careers involving their major. So if you went into chemistry, you only have chance or things like that. And I tend to, looking around some of my friends and that over the years, yeah, I've noticed that too. And at any stage in your life, whether you're just coming out of school, you're old, you're at that point, you're going, okay, what do I want to do now? I've been doing this for a while. Is there something else I want to do? So this provides you with a way of doing it like the way a designer looks at a problem. So it's got a lot of good press. I've just started going into it, and I just want to kind of see what it's about, and see if I can find out a little bit more about me. I have a lot of interests here, there, and everywhere, and sometimes I feel like I struggle. What do I want to do? Of course, I have to be able to make money off of it, because paying the bills is always good, paying the rent and all that's kind of important. But at the same time, you want to feel like you're contributing, and you want to try and do something you enjoy. So, like I said, I'm only about a third of the way through the book. There's a lot of homework, shall we say, a lot of stuff you have to kind of do some stuff, and it's been interesting so far. So, hopefully, as I continue through that journey, what do you have this week, Derek?
I have high charts. High charts is it's a set of JavaScript data visualization libraries, I guess would be the best way to put it. There's a commercial version you can download and install yourself, and then there's HiCharts Cloud, which is hosted by HiCharts. There's a free version there for non-commercial use, which is exactly what I'm after, and then some licenses as well if it is for commercial use and takes off the HiCharts watermark or logo in the bottom right corner and that sort of thing. So I've been trying to put together some data visualizations for the Middlesex Center budget. I wanted to use this open source package called VisGov, which was really neat, but I've had a lot of trouble getting all the dependencies installed and configuring it properly. Like it is not well put together. It is definitely designed for the company who built it to deploy it for a government. So instead of dropping 3,000 bucks of money that I don't have on something I could do myself, I went out on the web and I remembered, hey, HiCharts, I've used that before. And I looked at a bunch of other ones too, other libraries I could install myself and that sort of thing. But the really nice thing about HiCharts is they have a ton of different charts available. Let's see, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18. Oh, 19, 22, 25, 28. We're looking at like 50, 60 different types of charts here. And I really needed a large tree map, which is basically a tree map, and it takes like chunks of data and splits them up proportionally into the actual, like, compared to size, comparatively speaking, appropriately sized boxes and stuff. And then you can click on each one and actually dig deeper into the underlying data. There we go.
Right.
So, so I really wanted to use that. They have it here. They have a really nice editor that you can use to actually put the data in. You can use CSV, you can use JSON, you can plug this into a Google Sheet, or just use their own Excel type editor right on the website. So lots of different options here, and I thought, you know what, this is perfect. And since I'm probably not the only person who wants to put together pretty charts and put them on a web page, I thought I would share it with all you.
Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome. Looks good.
Yeah.
Looks good. Okay. What are we up to? I'm doing getting some stuff for Toronto Amdar storage unit, slowly but surely. I got my weather station hooked back up on the back fence because when we moved, obviously, I had to take it down. I may have to get some fresh batteries for it. I think it's having trouble, but I'm hoping to get that working again. Busy week coming up for me. I've got the London Public Library board meeting coming up, and there's always some other stuff related to that. So that makes a busy week, considering it's Monday. That's what's happening with me. How about you, counselor?
I did a lot of running around and meetings this past week, just meeting with people downtown or meetings for work, for Olio as well. I finished up my second Amazon AWS course. I'm still no pro, but if you need to know just about anything about AWS and what it can do, I could probably tell you. And so now I've moved on to learning Python, finally. So that's coming along, and I've got a few ideas of stuff I'd like to build there. Maybe I'll make some money, maybe I won't, but certainly I'd like to. So I'm coming up with some startup ideas so that I do have a goal in mind, and therefore I'll know which skills I need to focus on once I've got a good foundation underneath me. I enjoyed family today at the wellness center.
I posted some
pictures on Facebook. I don't think I tweeted anything yet, but I will. And then we have a council meeting coming up on Wednesday.
Right. So that'll keep you out of mischief.
Yep.
Definitely. Okay. Well, a short show this week, but again, that's because we've been really, really busy. We're going to continue. We're going to try and get a third. It's always tough.
Yes.
I keep trying to reach out, but a lot of the awesome people we deal with over the years.
Sorry. Jamie Cousins has agreed to be on the show. Not today, not next week, but hopefully the week after that.
At some follow from him. So yeah, Jamie's a good guy. Long standing listeners will know he's our token Windows Phone guy.
Yes.
So there you go. We'll talk to him.
And full disclosure, he's also a constituent of mine.
Yes. He lives just down the road from my mom actually as well. So there you go. See, you get all the cool people. It's your ward, right?
It's my ward, right? It's my ward.
It's your ward. You get all the cool people in your ward.
I do.
So this is awesome. Okay, so don't forget to review us. We're on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Retweet us. We have a Facebook page. Check it out there. Tell a friend. Follow and like our page on Facebook. Or you can send us an email for ideas or just general comments. We love hearing feedback. Contact at CanadianTechPodcast.com, and that's pretty well about it. Is there anything else from you, Mr. Silva?
No, I'm good.
You're good. Okay. So, Canadian Tech Podcast for Monday, February the 20th, 2017. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Thank you, and be well.